Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
ATB.org. America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Sue Hewitt for Town Hall Review. If you're like me, you want more than just facts. You want insight from people you trust. People like Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Mike Gallagher, and of course me, your host each week on the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, a weekly roundup of the news. Tune in each week and visit our website at townhallreview.com, where we give you what you need in today's fast-changing world. That's townhallreview.com.
Saturday and Sunday at 5 a.m. on AM 1420, The Answer.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. And we still are. After all these years, we're still the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have we got some exciting things to talk about tonight. And tonight, joining us out there, first of all, our producer, the one we got locked up in that glass cage with the dials and the smiles, is Seth. Hey, Seth.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. And then we have tonight, Pastor Richard Lewis is joining us. Hey, Richard.
Good evening, Pastor. Doing great.
Good to have
Welcome
you here.
Everybody.
And way out yonder in Texas, he only has a 5-gallon hat, not a 10, none other than the chaplain, John McTernan.
Bless you, Pastor Ernie, and all our wonderful listeners.
Alrighty, and live here in the studio, I have with me Aaron.
Hello, Pastor.
Okay, we're ready. You guys ready to go for tonight?
Amen.
Ready to go.
Alrighty. We have a lot to cover. First thing I want to do, though, I want to tell the folks out there listening for Sunday morning, the Doers of the Word Church, We will be doing the newsletter during the Sunday morning Bible study. So we need everybody on board. Everybody on board Sunday morning. And unless you're a hillbilly, if you're a hillbilly, you don't have to. You just stay home and stay in bed, right?
Be at the Bible study.
No. There you go. No. Only kidding. I like hillbillies. In fact, I'm pretty close to being one. Anyhow, there you go. But we got to get that newsletter out. We're going to start today. A very interesting thing happened. When I got to the radio station yesterday, there were several fellows there, and they were kind of upset. They were very, very upset, in fact, about a radio program that had been played the night before. And that was, well, I guess you would say, a big display of pacifism. And
that's the last thing we need.
The very last thing we need. And so we're going to take a look at why that is. But tonight we're going to start, our scripture is going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 24. So, Richard, would you read verses 24 through 29?
Be glad to. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians strayed and were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace.
Okay, so here now, we're going back there to verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Now, Moses lived 1,500 years before Christ. And so how was it, do you think, that he knew about the coming Messiah? That he was looking ahead, that there was going to be the promised Messiah.
The burning bush.
Well, yeah. He was there.
Actually, if you take the Bible and go from Genesis all the way to the Revelation, it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Messiah and all the things that the Israelites did, all the ritualistic things were pictures of Christ.
Absolutely. Well, Moses' own prophecy in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19 knew that God's eternal promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were worth far more than eternal riches. So what happened here? Moses soon found himself to be at odds, and then eventually at the end there ended up at war with Egypt and all of its army. What didn't he?
He sure did.
And so
he was willing to do that. You know, you think about him being raised in the Egyptian culture, and he was raised with probably great wealth around him.
Oh, yeah, he was next in line to be king.
He was willing to do that at 40 to forsake all that.
He was next in line to be king.
Yeah.
And remember, Egypt was the great power, but he believed in the coming Messiah, and he was looking for a better city, a much greater city, right? And that was the one that Abraham was looking for. That's the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
And then when we get down, by faith...
I'd like to add something, please.
Sure. Well, that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I'm polite, though. I'm very polite. Hebrews 4:2 is a very interesting scripture. And, let's read 4:1 into 4:2. Let us, therefore, fear, at least a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now look, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they had a knowledge. This is talking about Moses.
Most of the time,
which means of Israel leaving Egypt. They understood there was what salvation was, that the Messiah was going to come and die for them, because that's what all the holidays were about. That's what the sacrifices were about.
That's right.
So was verse 1 a reference of entering the rest of the promised land that they failed to through unbelief?
Yeah.
With Moses and the Jews at the time?
They were full of unbelief. They couldn't rest in the promised land, and that's why they had to wait 40 years in the wilderness. And we are to rest in Christ. He's our, like, promised land.
So they were looking ahead for the coming Messiah.
Yes, exactly.
We're looking now ahead, too, but now we're looking ahead not for the suffering Messiah, but for the conquering King, right?
Exactly.
And so here now, we pick it up. Now, when we read about... By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Look, you know, just think about this. If today, if our modern army was asked to march around a major city 7 days and blow a horn and blow a trumpet, what do you think they would think? What do you think they'd do?
I'm afraid our modern army wouldn't have have that kind of faith.
No, and today our modern army is in real bad shape, very bad shape.
Certainly is.
By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So her faith saved her and her family, didn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. Her entire city that was walled in was overrun and taken and slaughtered, and her family were the only ones saved because of her faith.
And she didn't have any doubts about the God of Israel, huh?
No, she didn't, and she just wanted to be obedient that way, even though it was going against the entire city. Everybody in the city didn't believe the way Rahab did, and they it says that she's the harlot.
Are you there, Richard? Are you still there, John?
There.
Okay, you're still there.
Concerning.
Alrighty. Well, let me move on.
I think he's back.
Yeah, I can hear him. You're back, right, Richard?
Yes, I am.
Alrighty.
Didn't Rahab
go ahead.
Specifically mentioned that she heard of how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob split the Great Red Sea.
Yes, she knew all of that.
Yeah.
So here now, let's go on to verse 3.
But all the people heard
about the
parting of the Red Sea and that, but they didn't understand or believe the miraculous power of Almighty God.
Well, they didn't fear God.
She did. Yeah. And so here now,
Mr. Ernie, she's in the Lord's genealogy in Matthew. Yeah. She's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
I know that. I know. And what shall I more say? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and also Samuel and of the prophets. So now, What did all of these people have in common here? They were all, God raised them up to go to war. Now, people say, well, what do you mean? Well, yeah, well, Gideon went to war, too. Gideon fought off a number of armies before.
The Midianites.
Yeah, and so here, people think that it was just him and his 300, but no, he was engaged in much more battle than that. And, of course, Samson fought the Philistines, and Jephthah and David also. And then Samuel was a prophet, and so...
He hacked Agag to pieces, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
He took it, and so this has something to do with what we're going to be talking about tonight, okay, as we go through there. Then he goes on, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, and they stopped the mouths of lions. All right, so here... Quenched the violence. We know who stopped the mouths of the lions. Daniel did that. Quenched the violence of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in flight. Turned to fight the armies of the aliens. And that's what a lot of our patriots are doing today. They're fighting the armies of the aliens right here in America. Okay. Women received their dead raised to life again. Elijah, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And in other words, what would be a good example of that? The Maccabees. The Maccabees, they were told if they would just renounce God, just renounce Jehovah, they could live, they would be set free, and they could live and have their freedom. And what did they do? They said, no, he will never renounce Jehovah. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? And it cost them their life. But they got the better resurrection. They will have a better resurrection. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins. It was Isaiah that was sawn asunder, okay? In fact, it was Manasseh, a wicked, wicked king that sought him asunder.
Near the altar.
Yeah. And he would have been a Democrat of that day. Whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And now all those have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay. And so, here now, when I got to the radio station, there were people upset because a fellow gave a message, a pacifistic message. You have a passage there in John, read. John chapter 10.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep.
And this is what we have, and so many of the pulpits are filled with that today. And these preachers will tell you, you shouldn't, not to get involved in politics, just to stay away from these things. Well, here, some years ago, a fellow named Dave Dobenmeyer, Coach Dobenmeyer, he called me. And Dave he was a winning football coach, and they prayed before each game and after the game. And while he was a winning football coach, he was asked to come and speak to, and a lot of these big mega churches and that, they would ask him to come speak because he was the winner. Well, then the ACLU got after him for praying, and they told him he couldn't pray. They were going to sue him in that. Well, he thought, wait till the pastors hear about this. The pastors, they'll have my back. Well, boy, did he find out that no, the pastors were hirelings, most of them. They told Dave, you're on your own here. We don't stand up against the government. And that's what so many are out there trying to do today. And this is what these others are telling you. You shouldn't stand and fight. Now, we just read, all of those people we just read there in Hebrews all fought against corrupt governments. You saw Shifra and Pua, the two. They worked for the government. They stood and saved the babies. They stood against their own government, okay? You saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You saw Daniel, Jeremiah. Now,
technically, that's what Moses was doing, too.
Oh, absolutely. He did. Okay. And so here, this guy was saying how, one, that the United States, for the War of Independence, should not fought against Britain in the War of Independence because they were Christians and you had a Christian king and that you had Christians killing Christians and he should have been submissive to his government. The pilgrims and the patriots should have been submissive to the king. Now, I want you to go ahead and read what the founding fathers, the reason given for their...
Here's some of their grievances from the Declaration of Independence. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasion on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat up their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislator. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. Should I keep going?
Yeah.
For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas, to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petition has been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people.
Alrighty. We're going to a break. We'll be back right after this.
I've always considered myself to be a patriotic man, but I have seen some changes in America that's hard to understand. It breaks my heart, one nation under God is what we used to say. What's happened to the USA? God help us in America today. In God we trust, that's how it used to be. Now our leaders have no morals, the results are plain to see. Some would vote for the devil if they thought there was a dollar to be made. Then they'll go to church and praise the Lord. God help us in America today. They took God out of school, they've replaced him with the wisdom of a fool. Now the experts wonder why the kids are bringing drugs and guns to school. Since they took away the cross, look how much it cost. And by the way, our children are the ones who pay. God help us in America today. In God we trust, that's how it used to be. Now our leaders have no morals, the results are plain to see. Some would vote for the devil if they thought there was a dollar to be made. Then they'll go to church and praise the Lord. God help us in America today. I still love my country, but sometimes I want to hang my head and cry. If we don't hold to what made us strong, all we can do is watch this nation die. It's sad to say the truth, the red, white, and blue is looking awful gray. Can you hear the ghost of Lincoln say, God help my America today? In God we trust, that's how it used to be. Now our leaders have no morals, and the results are plain to see. Some would vote for the devil thought there was a dollar to be made. Then they'll go to church and praise the Lord. God help us in America today. Can you hear the ghost? ghost of Lincoln say, God help my America today.
That was my dear friend for and singing partner for many, many years, Danny Reig, who got laid to rest today. Danny was buried today, and boy, I'm going to tell you, he was right on that song there, wasn't he? Now, that song was made a while back, and you know things are much worse now than they were even then when he sang that song. But we're going to miss you, Danny. And again, Danny was a very, very talented man. Wrote over 300 songs recorded.
Wow.
And for many, many years, we sang many of them together. And I'm going to miss him. Going to miss him a lot. Anyhow.
Pastor, you're due for a new album.
Yeah, maybe we ought to. Well, I'm still here, huh? If I could get McTernan to sing with me in one of those albums, you think I could do that?
What do you think, John?
No, I make a joyful noise to the Lord, and that's it.
All righty.
Okay. Pastor Ernie, I am so glad that you went over. You had the brother here read the reasons for the Declaration of Independence. That was really refreshing.
Yeah, we're heading there. Yeah, that's what we're going to be
doing. They were brilliant men.
That's what I wanted to mention to you.
Sure.
It was so many. As he was reading them off, I'm going, well, that's today. And, like, that's today. And, well, that's today. And the one about the foreign armies.
Yeah, that's today.
The most I could think of was the FBI and the federal law enforcement now is like it's like the Hessians from the times of, the American Revolution.
Well, Biden's been flying the Hessians in from all over. He's been flying the Chinese. He's been flying Russians. He's flying them designated cities. These people are preparing to make war on us in America here today.
Yes, now, they are.
Here you have these pacifists telling us, well, this fellow that was preaching kept saying his main thing was, to live in a quiet and peaceful life. Just live in a quiet and peaceful life. Now, John, you know, and Richard, the three of us would love to live in a quiet and peaceful life, but it's kind of hard to do that when they're kicking your doors in at 2 o'clock in the morning, all right? How many times I've been arrested just for preaching the gospel out there. Now, God sent me out to preach the gospel. And the corrupt government says, no, you're not going to preach that gospel. Well, guess which one I obey? Many times, and being not just the corrupt government, but the opposite, the death culture, I've been shot at several times. They've tried to run me over, tried to stab me several times. But you know what? We must obey God rather than man, huh? Richard, you spent 10 years in prison. You ended up becoming the prison chaplain for...
I did. Unofficially.
Yeah, well, they had no chaplain, and all the men were going to you anyhow, and so...
Yes, they were, and the guards were coming to me to give them direction on what to do in there, so...
They understood who God had sent there, huh?
They sure did, and that was a great ministry. They did it to do evil, and God turned it around for good. So that was a wonderful thing. But that's the whole thing is what Acts 4:19 tells about whether it be right to in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, ye judge. And we have to obey God, not man.
So. Here, you learned a little bit about what Joseph went through, huh?
Oh, yeah, indeed.
John, you and I, we've had our battles with the War College, with the Admiral Mullins, and I mean, because of what they've said, the Christians shouldn't be in the military because our allegiance is to Christ and not to the government or to the New World Order or whatever. And so
you're absolutely right, Pastor Ernie. That was back in, I'm trying to think now when that was. Like, I think it was about 25 years ago, and it was the War College in Fort Leavenworth, and they were backing this, at the War College, he was a captain going to be a colonel, I think.
Yeah.
And he had a paper on fundamentalist Christians, really. And he said we were a danger because we were against the New World Order and against the United Nations.
Yeah.
And that we wanted to provoke a war to start Armageddon.
Right.
And
captains
then,
actually
brought that to your attention, and we confronted them, Pastor Ernie, about it.
Yeah, we did. Captains become majors, and then they go to
whatever it was yeah. In order, Pastor Ernie. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and we did. And remember, and so Mullins put that young lieutenant, that lawyer, on me, and I had quite a conversation with him. And he got God's word, the Bible, heaven sweet and hell hot, okay, trying to tell us. And you know, here's the irony of this whole thing, the irony. Do you remember Stanislav Lunev when he was here? Stanislav Lunev was the highest-ranking defector from the Soviet Union. He was of the ranks of a full bird colonel. And he was with their, what they call the GRID, which was their equivalent to our NSA. And he was telling me how underneath Moscow, there's a much larger city underground underneath Moscow that's been there for a long time. And he was there where these top-ranking generals at that time in Russia were using God's word, the Bible, especially Ezekiel 37, 38, to prepare to go to war with God. Somehow these guys thought that they were going to prepare, and they had their bunkers there. Somehow they had this idea that maybe God couldn't get them underground. But remember what the Bible says, that every knee is going to bow to him above ground and below, all of those above ground and those that live below. And so here, that's an amazing thing to think that somehow you can battle, you can go to war with God and win.
the devil's not even winning, so.
Yeah, and so.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's amazing. I didn't know that. That's the first time I've heard it. But right now, the former president of Russia before Putin was Medved, I believe his last name
yeah.
was.
Yeah, Medved.
And he is constantly quoting scriptures and Revelation, warning the West what's coming with a nuclear war with Russia. And he's quoting the scriptures about it.
Yeah, and Putin has done the same thing.
Recently.
Yeah. And so.
He's been quoting scriptures recently, John?
Oh, yeah. I've been posting that on my blog. I would say a good, through the years, eight times. He quotes Revelation quite a bit. And he said that the West is going to be this Russia will nuke the West in self-defense.
And so I wanted to go back to where he said to live quiet and peaceful lives. You know, it's not so easy for those of us. I'll bet that these guys, these prissy preachers that talk about, you know, you must obey the government no matter what, and that are anti-militia, okay? And by the way, do you know what, when Nehemiah was building the wall, do you know what those people on the wall were that was building the wall?
They had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other.
What you call the militia. They were a militia, standing militia. And so here, so now, again, more and more you've got now these people coming out. And let me ask you this. What is the most dangerous to the church? Is it, would it be the apostates, the Episcopal Church and that the United Church of Christ, that actually they embrace sin. They come right out in the open and they They embrace abortion. They embrace sodomy. You know, so those of us that are biblically literate and saved, we recognize that those people, that those are not Christians. Then you have, of course, the prosperity church, and we know, you know, they're pretty easy to recognize because they're really going off the deep ends lately. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. In fact, we're going to be, I think, in the near future, playing some clips of some of these prosperity preachers. And I mean, you would think that some are demon possessed and others have just lost their minds. So that's not the biggest danger. The biggest danger are those preachers that do preach the gospel, that have the credibility of preaching the gospel and know the Word of God, but that preach pacifism. Now, let me tell you what a pacifism has wrought for America today. About 160 million dead babies. Well, and before that, God, you know, we had a public education system with the highest rank in the whole world, the top-rated education system in the
scholastically,
okay, until God was expelled from school. And then a door was left open, and the opposite came in, the other guy, right? So now, let me just say this here. When we heard back in those days, I remember hearing the preachers telling me, if you continue with what you're doing, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. And I was trying to say, let's go, let's march on Washington, D.C. These people, that court in 1973, actually 100 of us did go, okay, but
you were there.
Yeah, I went there, yeah.
In 1973?
No, it was later than that. That's what we were talking about it. But it was later. We finally got the men together, and we went to Washington, D.C. And is that where I met you, John, on the steps of the Supreme Court? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we met there a couple times, Pastor Ernie. You were with a group that had one of those United Parcel trucks with all the murals and banners around it.
Okay, yeah.
And I was walking on the parade. I was walking by, and I looked over, and the truck caught my eye, and there you were.
Well, here now, what happened, if the pastors, you see, the pastors failed God. No place, and they don't like to talk about it, and I know they get angry at me when I bring this up, many of them. But it was up to the pastors. It was their job. Just like, and I'm going to read here from the clergy of the revolution here in just a minute, the Black Robe Regiment. I'm just going to read you about some of these men, because these preachers now are saying that we never should have rebelled. It was wrong. They were disobedient to God. They didn't obey Romans 13. They were fighting other Christians in England, and yet we knew that from Genesis to Revelation, we see every prophet, every priest, every man of God stood, and they obeyed God and not a corrupt government. But these preachers, or these prissy preachers, are telling you to knuckle down, just go along, go with the flow, and try to live a peaceful and quiet life. Well, you know, you can live a peaceful and quiet life if you don't go out there, if you don't take a stand against this wickedness.
Yeah, as we lose all our rights and liberty.
That's right.
So that's not the correct guidance.
No.
Well,
so,
Pastor Ernie.
Yes.
What's God's punishment for a nation that kills its children?
Well, that's an abomination. God had brought the harshest judgment. In fact, that's the only one of the only things that God actually brought upon Israel was cannibalism. He reduced them to cannibalism, where they actually had to eat each other with starvation.
That was with the Babylonians, at the time of the Babylonians.
Yeah.
In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed, that is your children, pass through the fire to Moloch. That was the pagan god they would worship their children, kill their children to. Neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now, that at this point, that wasn't the Jews that were doing it. That was the pagan nations that the Lord brought the Jews to Israel, to the land of Israel. They were actually driving them out, and they were going to be killed. And one of the reasons was these pagans were killing, they were sacrificing their children. And the law had, this wasn't under the law of Moses. The pagans were not under the law of Moses, but God was applying his moral law to the pagans, even though they weren't under the law of Moses. So what happens, Pastor Ernie, what I've run into today is people just don't believe that God will judge. They don't believe it. That's the Old Testament. It's not. That's it's different. We're under God's grace now. So a nation can be as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people, there's millions today, we're under the age of grace, and God won't judge us. So they lost the fear of God.
We talked about that last night in Jeremiah chapter 2, where the Lord had said in verse 34 that your skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent. And he says that he didn't even have to search their hearts to know their wickedness. Their own mouths betrayed them. But in that, those women, now he was using Israel as a type of a whorish woman, said, look, we didn't do anything wrong because what we did was legal. It was allowed by the government, okay? And so this is what you have today. You have this mindset out there. It's legal. It's legal, so we're not doing anything wrong, no. Again, what is lawful and what is legal is two different things.
What did God say about the Jews when Jesus was on earth about divorce? He says it was never so from the beginning, but because of the hardness of your heart.
Yeah, what they did is they twisted, and even the law of Moses they twisted.
Yes.
Those guys were, they would marry a woman, and what they were using this would be, if she burnt their meal, they could divorce her, a paper of divorce, but for any reason, then they would, they were actually known to trade their wives for a team of oxen during plowing season, and then after plowing, take them back. They would do, they would just treat their wives terrible. That's why in Malachi, when he said, that's where you got the second shortest verse in the Bible, God hates divorce. He said, their tears of your wives, of your youth are falling upon my altar.
Yes. And
And those idiots, those guys were trying to tell God, look, we figure things out. We figure things out. We know that what you're saying here, but we see how you reward the wicked. So we hear what you're saying, how much you care for the poor and this and that, but we're seeing what's actually happening. So we're hip. We're part of this now. In other words, they were telling God he was corrupt. That wasn't a smart thing to do. You know, this is why if you go to chapter 1, where he talks about how they're buried in their faces up into dung.
Pastor Ernie, Jude speaks about this, and also 2 Peter. But Jude 1:7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Now remember, this is the New Testament. This is not talking about the Old Testament. This is what's happened in the Old Testament. Jude is applying to the New Testament, to us today.
Yeah.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication And that word fornication, it's a special word, Pastor Ernie, of fornication. It means to be utterly unchaste, completely. And the word is where we get pornography. That's the Greek word where we get pornography. So it means to be completely without any morals. Given that's what the fornication means. So that includes homosexuality, includes it all. And giving over to strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And just give me a moment, and I want to go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So these are two warnings in the scriptures. And if we go down the road of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we are, except for the remnant that's interceding before the Lord, it says here that's what God did is an example to us that should follow.
Well, Leviticus says nations that support that abominable sin, the land vomits out its inhabitants.
Well, so, yes. Go to Leviticus chapter 20 and read me verses 1 through 5, Aaron. Leviticus 20. Now, remember, just as what you're talking about in Jude, God's immutable. His laws don't change. And you see, these people today that think, well, you know, I've heard women say, personally, I could never have an abortion, but I'm not going to judge someone that does. That's their business, not mine. So go ahead and read that passage, verse Leviticus 21 through 5.
21, 1 through 5?
No, 20, 1 through 5.
20.
20, and then verse.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people.
So he's telling you that people that sit back and are pacifists and do nothing about the fact that they're killing children, even though they're not doing it, it's a sin of omission, sin of omission.
2 minutes.
And the Lord Jesus preached more on sins of omission than he did sins of commission. We'll take a look at that in the second hour today.
So the answer to this in our present society, if we still have a constitutional republic, is to have representatives that will have pro-life legislation, correct?
That's true, but the other answer is that we, every one of us, to do all that we can to stop that horrible, horrible sin, okay, the sin of killing children. The whole purpose of the when God gave us the divine institution of human government, the third point was the purpose, the entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve the image of God, that being man. That's the entire purpose. Our government is illegitimate. It's not legitimate. This is why we've lost.
Well, many of us support life. It's just we haven't succeeded in preventing the wicked from doing their abortions.
Well, some of us have battled.
We got to defund it.
Well,
one got to defund it. You need people in Congress to do that, and in state, your state reps or state senators, and then you got to educate the kids not to or to remain faithful as far as abstinence, so that they don't get pregnant and get in position.
We have to do all that. People say you have to change hearts, but only God can change hearts. We can do what all that we can do. Okay, but I think the time is coming, and what's going to happen? God knows exactly what it takes to bring people to repentance, and meanwhile,
isn't the pro-life movement going in the right direction though in these recent years?
Yeah, it has. Yeah,
so we're gaining momentum.
We've saved over 24,000 babies during the year since
Roe versus Wade getting overturned. So
yeah, All right, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We have a whole lot to cover yet tonight, so don't go away. More to come. We'll see you right after this.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.